Good morning and welcome to the Fast Tax Podcast. We are here to have a very interesting conversation on the special economic zones and have wonderful guests, Leno Nyango and Martin Mumo, who is a tax manager at Centam. Anyway, maybe perhaps a little bit of some more introduction from yourselves, lady and gentleman. Lena?
Thank you, Alex, for having us here today. As Alex has mentioned, my name is Lena. I'm specializing in tax advisory and tax dispute resolution and happy to be here.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Lena. It's a pleasure to be here. So my name is Martin Mumo. I am a tax manager at Centam. It's a pleasure to be here, to be part of your first episode of your tax series. And, you know, I look forward to discussing SEZs, which is something that you're dear to at Centam.
Yeah. Nice. I know something about you, Martin, over and above tax. You have some very interesting hobbies. So what do you do on free time?
I have so many things I do, but I know particularly what you're talking about is I climb mountains. It's something I'm passionate about. I've done this for the last 5 years now. The why I do it is it has built a lot of emotional resilience in me. I do it to push myself, to challenge myself, and to find a balance in life as well. I would challenge you to take one of these mountains as well.
Okay, yeah. I will try.
Yeah.
But perhaps I need to start with skipping ropes.
At least just start from somewhere.
From somewhere, all right.
Yes.
Lena, any interesting hobby that you have?
Oh, I wouldn't say it's interesting, you know, to the level of climbing mountains. But I think in my free time, I like trying out new recipes. I like trying just interesting food stuff. So it's something that I enjoy doing. Other than that, Netflix and chill will do for me. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. Wait, so as we begin our discussion today on special economic zones, I'm sure our viewers and listeners would want to know what is it that is in special economic zones? What procedures do they need to follow? How do they set up? Are there special benefits that they get by getting into a special economic zone? And for you, Martin, having been at Centam, maybe you could tell us around the Two Rivers International Finance and Innovation Center and also the Bipingo SEZ by Centam. So what's the background around this? Who are you targeting?
Okay. All right. Thank you, Alex. So Two Rivers International Finance and Innovation Center, TRIFIC, is a type of a special economic zone. We are the first privately owned SEZ, which is dedicated to services. So under the various categories of SEZs, we have one that is called a business service park. So it's a type of an SEZ that is dedicated to services only. And the scope of such services is well, you know, highlighted in the SEZ Act. So it's your shared services, your regional HQs, your holding companies, you know, your management consulting, just any service-oriented kind of business. Huh? So the thinking behind services, I know you're asking why services only, and it's going back to what is the government's agenda around FDI. And just borrowing from the insights we've seen over the last decade, services have contributed, you know, 30% in 2018 of FDI inflows in Kenya. And so the trend we saw is, you know, up to 2023, services accounted for 60% of FDI inflows in the country. So we saw an opportunity for us to align with the government's agenda of enhancing FDI inflows in the country, as well as also creating meaningful jobs to the economy. And so with the kind of platform that you have at Two Rivers, the infrastructure, what we are doing is we are providing businesses and investors with sort of like a plug and play environment infrastructure that will make them more competitive with the, you know, enabling strategic benefits. And that they can scale up their businesses to grow and tap into regional or international markets. And with that, they'll be able to create more jobs to the economy and, you know, contribute to payroll taxes to the government. So that's the idea behind Trific and Y Services. So we got our license in 2023. And, you know, we've been meeting a lot of investors about Trific, who want to come and set up in Trific. And one of the key learnings, and that is tied to why we set up Vipingo, most of the investors we met, they will tell you, okay, I have an operational, you know, aspect to my business, which I'm in manufacturing, I'm in processing. So what solutions can you give me as an investor? So we have 8,000 acres of land in Vipingo. So we saw an opportunity for us to provide sort of an array of solutions to such investors. So in as much you have the soft core, which is now Trific, purely focused on services, we want to give them another solutions of how they can leverage on the SZ framework to cater for their hardcore, which is processing, manufacturing, logistics, warehouse, etc. So Vipingo, which was gazetted last week as a special economic zone, 2,000 acres were gazetted as a special economic zone, will be sort of a mixed use type of an SZ, which has some elements of an industrial park, which can accommodate manufacturing, processing activities, as well as also some aspects of a free trade zone, which can take care of the logistics, the warehousing, the packaging, and all that.
Okay.
So that is the whole background around Trific and Vipingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have guys who want to set up for services, so
yes,
those ones can go to Trific.
Yes.
You have guys who want to do manufacturing, could go to Vipingo.
Yes.
Len, I'm just wondering, are there any other sectors that could perhaps benefit from an SEZ or Special Economic Zones framework?
Well, Alex, SEZs are, I think, are a bit versatile, so they cover different sectors. Martin has touched on the industrial aspect of it, the business side of it, but also we have SEZs that now would be in the tourist and recreational sector. We have agricultural SEZs. There's Faraja Roses in Kiambu. There's the ICT, Information Communication Technology, and also probably something to do with science. So SEZs are a bit versatile, and I think there are many opportunities that, you know, potential investors can look into because they cover different sectors. But interesting, I haven't... I'm wondering whether there's plans to have an education or something that's centered towards education and, you know, just an SEZ that focuses on that. So it would be interesting to
actually
see whether something that like that would be developed. Yeah.
One of the proposals in the SEZ amendment bill last year was to have an educational zone.
Yeah, that would definitely make school fees affordable to a lot of
focusing on tertiary institutions, primary, secondary. It was
interesting.
It was one of the proposals actually in the bill.
Well, I hope that comes through well.
So within the SZ framework, you could come in as the developer, operator, enterprise, and basically different forms, And for many of the people who could perhaps be listening to us today, they're just wondering, I want to set up a business within an SEZ area, a special economic zones area. So where do they start? What kind of things do they need to check to just ensure that they're eligible to enjoy SEZ benefits?
Okay. So for Trific, being a service, business service park, which purely we take service-oriented businesses, so that is the first requirement. You must be in the services sector, so you're offering a service. And then secondly, we look at what is your export potential, because, you know, the reason why the government is giving these strategic benefits, it's so that you can become competitive on, you know, a global or regional front. So you must demonstrate the ability to export services. So that is really very key to assess, because it will justify the case for you coming to the zone. It's just not to take advantage of the benefits and still continue accessing the same markets. And then how the SEZ framework works in Kenya, it's a geographical sort of based jurisdiction, which means that you must be physically present within the zone for you to qualify for the SEZ benefits. So what that means is you must take up space. You also must sign a lease with the operator of the zone or the developer of the zone for you to demonstrate that you're actually present within the zone. Yeah. So once you've satisfied all those requirements, then we start the licensing process with CESA for you to get the enterprise license.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they'll ask you, you know, some KYC for the company just to demonstrate how are you funding this business. What do you envision will be the revenue projections, year one, year two, year three? How many people do you envision to employ in this business?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who are the directors of this company? So we'll take you through the licensing process with CESA, and once you unlock or you get your SEZ license,
yeah,
then you unlock the various incentives.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Anything you'd want to add, Len, around the licensing process?
I think just to build up on what Martin has just pointed out, it's also the importance that, you know, you have to also get approvals from other regulatory bodies like NEMA, the National Environmental Management Authority, I guess, for SEZs that are in the manufacturing sector or the agricultural sector, because then we need to also ensure that, you know, other issues or other factors that may be affected by the SEZ's activities are taken into account. So that's also one thing that investors need to take into account as part of the process.
Okay. When I'm having discussions with my clients, one of the main attractions to special economic zones is the preferential tax rates that perhaps they want to unlock by getting into the SEZ zone. Lena, maybe you could just highlight some of them. What are the key tax advantages of setting up within an SEZ?
So just to point out firstly is the fact that there are certain changes that were introduced by the Business Laws Amendment Act. So initially, SEZ used to enjoy a 10% corporate income tax rate, and thereafter, I think it was 15% for this 5 years subsequently, which now has been limited to 10 years. So at the moment, SEZs will enjoy a 10% corporate income tax rate for 10 years. From another income tax perspective is the fact that you get exemptions on withholding taxes, on dividends and on services that are rendered to the SEZs. And also gains on transfer of properties within the SEZ are exempt from capital gains tax, which is a huge tax save considering capital gains tax is at 15%. But on an indirect tax perspective, I think the key one would be the fact that services rendered to SEZs are at zero rated, which I think encourages transactions or services to be, you know, supplied to the SEZs and investments in the SEZ. But also, I think mitigates the issue of cash flow, you know, and cuts cost for SEZ. So I think that's really a key issue and, you know, a huge incentive for them.
Interesting, Lena. There's a time I was having a discussion with guys from the Kenya Revenue Authority.
Mm.
I think it was a webinar of some sorts.
Yes.
And one of the things that was coming out from that particular webinar was some form of allegation from the KRA side to say that you have people who are setting up within SEZs, but we're not able, or special economic zones or preferential tax zones, but we are yet to see the tax.
The benefit
or the impact, yeah, of some of these tax incentives. But for you, Martin, you're sitting within an existing zone, TRIFIC as an example. So do you see real impact for businesses and for the economy within TRIFIC or within just the special economic zones framework?
Yeah, and you know, it's good to mention the incentives, and you know, just looking at them from the face value, they sound promising, but really understanding the impact to your business is what is really better to understand. So for instance, when you say a 10% corporation tax rate, I'm just looking at a simple calculation. You have 100 bob, which now you're taxed at 10%. So you're left with 90 after tax profit. For someone who is outside the zone, they are left with 70 because they are taxed at
30%. Yeah.
So if you look at the ability to pay that return to shareholders, someone who is in the SEZ is returning 90 compared to someone who is in the outside the zone. So who is returning 70 to their shareholders in form of dividend. So the 10%, you see the impact on distributable profits.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to distribute higher profits to your shareholders. Again, to your point on withholding tax on dividend, remember, you are repatriating at 0% to your shareholders.
Yeah.
Whether they are local
or non-resident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So already, you repatriate the 90 in full. Yeah. For someone who is paying the 70, remember when they are paying that the same 70 to the shareholder, they
then
still have suffered
withholding tax
5%.
Yeah, withholding tax.
So it ends up being 65.
65, yes.
So you see the net effect to the shareholder is in the zone, higher return to the shareholder.
Yeah.
And even just looking at other aspects like borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for instance, if you're a company that is coming to set up within the zone, you are sourcing for debt from a foreign financial, then there's no the 15% withholding tax on interest payments to non-resident here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it means you'll be able to borrow at a lower cost than someone who is outside the zone. So if you want to channel that investment to other subsidiaries, whatever parts of Africa they are, it means they can leverage on that low cost and they can benefit from a low cost of borrowing.
Mm-hmm.
And even on your point on VAT.
Yeah.
So remember all supplies to the zone don't have VAT because they are zero rated. Yeah.
Yes.
So if you compare that to someone who is outside the zone, who is incurring a 16% cost, yeah, from a P&L perspective, your P&L won't have a 16% to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it means you are competitive in how you can price your services because your cost basis is much lower.
Mm.
Yeah. So you, if you apply a markup, a total markup, you are still competitive than someone who is outside the zone, who for them, they are marking up their taxes. So those are some of, you know, the businesses, you know, some of the real business values that we've seen of setting up within, you know, NSEZ from a business standpoint. Yeah. And there are many others actually.
But I think from the perspective that Alex was sort of trying to point out is since SEZs literally are paying very minimal taxes, then how does that benefit
the government
or the country as a whole? But for me, it's a bird in hand, two in the bush kind of situation. If you also didn't have these investors in the SEZ, you would not have the 10% tax that is there. And I believe you are employing
people.
A huge number of people, and these people are paying POIE, and they have now money to now go and buy consumables, and through that you get 16%. So I think it has a snowball effect ultimately that benefits the economy.
Okay.
Actually, that's a benefit. You bring businesses there.
Yes.
They become competitive. They scale up,
employing
more people.
Yes.
And then the government is getting payroll taxes.
Yeah, because now money circulates.
All right. Two questions come to mind. One is, well, I think the benefits, the advantages of setting up within the SEZ are quite clear. And I'm just wondering, as a business, once I set up, am I limited in terms of how I approach the Kenyan market? Is there some form of quota, Martin?
So for SEZs, which unlike...
And is SEZ in Kenya? I think there are people who also ask whether SEZ is Kenya or is that a foreign territory?
Yes, so that's a good question. So SEZs are deemed to be outside the customs territory, which the customs territory in this case, I mean the EAC member states.
Yeah.
So if you come and set up within the zone, there's no restriction that you can't still access the Kenyan market. You can do that, but prior to approval from CESAR. Yeah. So there's no a specific quota like we have for EPZs, where you can only access up to 20% of the local, you know, market. So you can still access the local market, but with prior approval, you know, from the SEZ authority.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Lena, I think coming back to your comments.
Yes.
Do you think there's a balance between providing a tax, you know, advantage vis-a-vis investment? Should we be looking at it just it's tax expenditure, or should we be focusing more on the benefits like you talk about, employment, better forex for the country? Where do you strike the balance, if you were to be asked?
I think as a country, if we just widened the tax base and managed our day-to-day expenditure, would be in a good place. Because then, again, bird in hand, two in bush, or a situation of which came first, the chicken or the egg, you know. If you don't have these investors coming in to invest in the SEZ areas, then it means you're missing out on potential investment you'd otherwise have had, because then maybe they're not interested in incorporating just a normal entity. So would you rather not have a 10% that you did not have in the first case, and over and above that you have Kenyans who actually have a livelihood out of these companies?
Mm-hmm.
So I think just widening the tax base would really help, and then mitigating the bleeding or the now the illicit transfer of profits or shifting of profits to low tax jurisdiction, which is a whole other conversation altogether. But I think that is what would literally give us a balance as a country.
So and thanks for that. Other than tax, any other advantages, Lena, for special economic zones?
I think
registration, what, licensing?
So the licensing procedures, I think, are quite elaborate. Of course, it being set in the Act, it might take time. There might be a lot of back and forth, but I think the fact that there's a certainty and the procedure is correctly set out in the Act and you know what you need to do to get the licensing, I think that's good. But also from just a wholesome perspective, for instance, Vipingo now, if you set up the industrial park, literally, that whole community is going to now become a buzz because then all these people were employed there. It literally benefits the communities around where the SEZs are located. Look at what now Trific has done. I guess it's breathed life into Two Rivers, the mall itself.
Yes.
So ultimately, the trickle effect of it, I think, is impressive, and I'm really happy that you've succeeded in getting one in Vipingo. Happy to see how that rolls out and how that pans out.
Great. Coming back to you, Martin. Some of the people that we advise are actually looking at special economic zones for purposes of tax structuring. I see this in manufacturing companies, our clients for manufacturing companies. I also see this in some of our clients who are private equity funds. What is it that actually attracts them to special economic zones? The private equity funds and the manufacturing guys want to set up holdcos there. What is it that is attracting them there?
So that's a good question. And, you know, we are seeing three categories of businesses that are coming to set up in Trific. The first category is already Kenyan existing businesses that want to scale up, tap into regional markets or international markets. And so the structuring opportunities that we're seeing within the SEZ space is, for one, an efficient way of them structuring their costs. And that is by, you know, hiving off certain shared or controlled aspects of their business and setting up a shared service within an SEZ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because of that, you're able to pack a lot of your group or, you know, support functions that you'll be able to focus, you know, on the regional offices. So the benefit there is, remember, we have a zero VAT. So it means you're able to get your support services, your costs, zero VAT. If you're also sourcing that from a foreigner, then you also save on the 20% withholding tax. So.
Okay.
So cumulatively, your cost of doing business becomes lower.
All right.
And then what that means is you can recharge that cost to the various subsidiaries at a lower cost.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cost-efficient way of structuring your operations if you want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, operate regionally.
And you recharge free of VAT as well.
Yes.
Okay.
If that's an export of a service.
Yes.
Yeah. So that is one category of businesses that you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
The other category we're seeing is people who don't have any presence either in Africa. So these are international companies, multinationals, who are looking to establish their presence in Africa. So the structuring opportunity there is to set up your regional headquarters within Trific.
Within Trific.
Yeah, that you use to, you know, channel your investments across whatever jurisdictions that you're operating in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the opportunities we're seeing there is first in terms of if you're channeling your investment through debt. So it means you're able to, you know, lend to that Trific SEZ entity, 0% withholding tax on interest. So it means you can channel that investment to the various subsidiaries,
yes,
at a lower cost.
Okay.
Yeah. While still benefiting from the management fee income that will be taxed at a lower rate, mm-hmm. of 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on a global front. The other category we mentioned, you also mentioned, is on the PE PayFund and investment.
Private equity funds.
Yeah. So recently we've seen a lot of regulatory changes and a lot of case laws around the PE space, and this emanates from, you know, place of effective management.
Mm.
So we are seeing a trend, you know, where investment holding companies were now in Mauritius or the DIFC now coming to set up in Kenya and or Trific or the SEZ, just to navigate around that issue of, you know, place of effective management being deemed to be in Kenya, then paying tax here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's now in law that, you know, if you're a foreign company that owns 20% or more of a Kenyan operating company, then any disposal of shares at the holding company level would still be liable for tax here.
Yeah.
So we are seeing a lot of structuring opportunities there for such kind of business arrangements to set up their investment holding companies here in Trific. So to first navigate around the 30% corporation tax that you've seen being, you know, levied by KRA in such incidences.
Mm.
So within Trific, you'll be able to get the 10% corporation tax rate, which is lower than the 30% you'd have paid.
Yeah.
And also any disposal there of shares in a SEZ company would not be subject to
CGT, capital gains tax. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So those are some of the structuring opportunities I see for such, you know, the category of business that I've just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
We are able to walk, you know, through each of these clients when they come to help, you know, pinpoint the specific value propositions for them.
Yes.
Because they are unique for every business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. Yeah, I also see, not necessarily within Trific, but within other special economic zones, guys who are into importing bulk, breaking, packaging, and perhaps distributing into their country. What is it that they're looking for within such a setup in a special economic zone?
So that is in the case of an industrial park, where you import and then you distribute to the customs territory. So first, there's, you know, the cost of investment or setting up your warehouse, whatever it is, in the SEZ, because you're qualifying for an investment deduction of 100%.
Yeah.
And again, if you're importing, then you have the duty exemptions.
Yeah, customs
and the
duties.
IDF exemption, which is at
3.5%. Yeah.
So it means your cost of importation would be probably
considerably
definitely
low,
cheaper.
Yeah,
depending on the commodities that you're importing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Interesting.
All right. That's nice. Lena, when you hear about these advantages within a special economic zone, what would you tell a business that is already set up in the normal setting up as a perhaps limited liability company and is already doing business and perhaps they want to move to SEZ? Maybe just 2 points. What should they think about now that they feel that this is actually an opportunity that they haven't taken advantage of?
Well, I think if I was a business, or if we have a client who currently is running a business and is considering going into an SEZ, well, I'd say get the right advice just to just ensure that, one, the services or the business that you're in is able to get the license to operate within an SEZ. But also, ultimately, it's not an entirely tax decision. Probably it also makes commercial sense to them, depending on the nature of activities or business activities that they have set up within an SEZ. So I guess my advice would be get the right people to hold your hand through it, just to give you the advice. And once you're well informed, they make the decision as to whether or not you want to proceed and set up an SEZ.
Mm.
Yes.
And coming to you, Martin, I'm sure you've had businesses that have transitioned from just the normal setup to an SEZ setup. What kind of challenges do you see them facing? Is it easy? Is it, you know, can it be done in 2 days as an example? What comes to mind?
Yeah, it's a seamless transition, and I would say there's really room for us as legal and tax professionals to create more awareness around the SEZ regime. One of the things that I've picked, you know, meeting a lot of businesses, is the level of awareness around the SEZ and what it provides. It's it's now getting there just to get traction. You know, we get a question, oh, has this law been in force, and how it's too good to be true?
Where's the catch?
So I think there's room for us to create more awareness around it, and you know, just answering around the question around the certainty of it. You know, this law has been here since 2015. And we haven't seen any changes to that law. Apart from, you know, the Finance Act 2023, which introduced the CGT exemption, the 0% withholding tax on interest and management fees. And prior to that, we had the regulations of 2022, which have come to enhance this law. So even looking back, we haven't seen any advanced changes to it. And now even just seeing what the business laws amendment came to do, it gave a 10-year validity period. So such that if today you get a license from to operate within an SEZ, so what that means is the applicable, you know, strategic benefits that were there at the time you are getting that license, in the event there's an adverse change subsequently, you'll not be affected for a period of 10 years. So it gives certainty to investors about some of these strategic benefits. The other area of opportunity that I see for us to really rethink about is, given where the world is going, you know, technology has changed a lot of things, how we work, how businesses work. And especially if in the services sector, remote working is now a big thing. And you know, we are looking at how can we harness, you know, such kind of working scenarios still within the SZ framework. And I'm happy we've made some good, you know, strides you know, along that by, you know, the SZ amendment bill had made a proposal to now introduce digital zones, which is a way of encouraging or making, you know, possible for businesses to set up within an SZ without physically being present there.
Having to set up an office, a physical space.
So it's like what Mauritius is doing, imagine company regime through the, you know, global business regime. So that is where we are headed. How can we, you know, enhance the SZ framework to really tap into the opportunities that we're seeing along, you know, the technological space? And, you know, I'm happy we're getting there day by day.
Interesting. So two things to look out for: digital and education.
So thank you very much, Lena and, thank you, Alex. And Martin.
Thank you.
I think this has been quite an insightful conversation around the special economic zones and the benefits, advantages, how to get in. I think this is information that people are looking for and perhaps will benefit from listening to us today. For anyone who's looking at SEZ, the way I see it is, you know, engage the right kind of people in terms of helping you to set up there. In case you're already set up in another framework, get to learn the benefits, how to transition from, say, an EBZ kind of framework to an SEZ framework or to a normal setting up framework to an SEZ framework. And I'm sure ourselves will be able to advise on that. We hope that you'll continue to you know, check whatever content that we'll be producing in the next few months and years. Thank you very much, Lena.
Thank you very much,
Martin.
Alex. Thank you, Martin.
I'm sure you've enjoyed the conversations as
very
well.
Very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.